I'm Sarah Thomas. I'm Bodley's librarian, and it is a great pleasure to welcome you tonight to this opening reception for the Crossing Borders exhibition. This is our winter exhibition, and the subtitle of Crossing Borders is Hebrew Manuscripts as a Meeting Place of Culture. Now, all of our exhibitions, and I haven't actually been keeping a count of how many I've seen in the almost 3 years I've been here at the Bodleian, but they all draw on the exceptional collections of the Bodleian Library. And they draw sometimes on exceptional collections from the college libraries as well. So we're quite ecumenical in the way we celebrate the tradition of collecting here at Oxford. The richness of our collections is astonishing, and those of you who've already had a chance to go in and take a peek at the exhibition, I'm sure have appreciated that, and I know you'll return with friends to look more closely. So this is an exhibition you can just enjoy looking at. The manuscripts that we are displaying are a real feast for the eyes. But there is something more to this exhibition. The Hebrew manuscripts in this display are accompanied by Arabic, Latin, and Greek manuscripts. And it's this composition that constitutes the hallmark of the special collections in the Bodleian Library. Non-compartmental thinking goes back to the days of the founder of the library, Thomas Bodley, so more than 400 years. His inclusive comprehension of what constitutes a library laid the foundation for cross-cultural reading and created the context and ambiance in which manuscripts, both as text and as material text, can be appreciated and understood. Based on the Hebrew, Arabic, and Western holdings of the Bodleian Library, Crossing Borders is an exciting example in point. Together, these manuscripts tell the story of intellectual transmission, cultural exchange, and practical cooperation, social interaction, and even religious toleration between Jews and non-Jews in the Muslim and Christian world during the late Middle Ages. It's a story that runs counter to many of the popular conceptions of Jewish civilization. We are immensely grateful to Corpus Christi College for their willingness to supplement our own material with two manuscripts that make an important contribution to the narrative of the exhibition. And we're very grateful to Christchurch for lending a 19th century Torah scroll. I'd also like to extend our warmest thanks to those institutions and individuals who've been so generous in their financial support of the exhibition. The Oxford Center for Hebrew and Jewish Studies, Sir Ronald and Lady Cohen, the Weinstock Fund, and the Jewish Communal Fund. The Congregation of the Sisters of Zion and the Hebrew and Jewish Studies Unit of the Oriental Faculty have helped to finance the publication of the accompanying book, a volume comprising contributions from 11 different authors, which shed light on various aspects of the narrative. And I've just had a glimpse of the book. It looks spectacular. We have also, with this exhibition, a first for us. We have introduced an electronic device turning the pages, and this is through the generosity of Mr. Brian Wilson, who has brought our exhibitions into the digital age. This facility will allow visitors to the exhibition to view all the images of the famous Kennicott Bible electronically. And finally, no exhibition at the Bodleian would be possible without the efforts of many people who have labored over a long period of time to bring it into being. And on this occasion, I want to mention in particular Nick Sistoni, Linda Townsend, and John Barrett in our imaging department, Dana Joseph, Sally Ann Gilchrist, and Alistair Orr of the exhibition and conservation section, Dot Little, our graphics designer, and Deborah Sussman, who oversaw the production of the book. Sincere thanks go to them and all who helped in any way. But I would particularly like to single out Pete Van Boxel. When I was coming to the Bodleian about 3 years ago, when my appointment had been agreed, one of the very first things that I was invited to contribute to in terms of a recommendation was whether or not Pete Van Boxel would join the Bodleian Library. And he's been going on this journey over these 3 years, learning more about our collection, organizing it, and today I think the pièce de résistance is the showcasing of it in this exhibition, which will be a lasting legacy and a great tribute to the very fine work that you have brought to the library. So I'm very pleased, and I want to please, let's all thank Pete for what he's done and his colleagues. And then I'm quite pleased to introduce, and I won't do a long introduction, but one of the great surprises, I think, one of the great gifts to us for this exhibition is that Vice Chancellor Andrew Hamilton, Professor Hamilton, is here with us today and will say a few words. This will be the first time that he'll be opening a Bodleian exhibition. I hope there'll be many more, but it is really an honor for you to be here. Thank you very much.
Sarah, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed for those very kind words of introduction. And it's an enormous pleasure for me and really rather appropriate to be opening the exhibition, to be joining you in the historic splendor of the university's Divinity School. I must say that as a scientist, it is not often that I have had the opportunity to speak from a pulpit, and so I'm going to take the opportunity tonight. The Spanish Hebrew poet Moses Ibn Ezra used to describe the medieval books that surrounded him as sheaths of wisdom. And it's wonderful to be here today to celebrate the opening of the Bodleian's current exhibition, Crossing Borders, which explores the cultural interactions that these sheaths of wisdom exemplify. The relationship between the cultures of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is, of course, one of the most pressing contemporary concerns. Very often we are presented with examples of the differences and the chasms between these cultures and the global political landscape littered with war, terrorism, religious, political, and territorial disputes is frequently reported in the media as a reflection of the distances between them. Yet all three of these ancient cultures are cultures of the book. The Old Testament is, of course, a book that unites all three religions. But perhaps more striking has been the common centrality and dependence on the book by all three cultures as a means of preserving and disseminating religious and philosophical thought, political ideas, law, poetry, and other forms of literature. As well, and of course of particular interest to me, as scientific and medical knowledge. This exhibition provides groundbreaking research that helps us understand the central place of the book in the development of all three cultures. But more importantly, it shows how in the Middle Ages, the Jewish peoples dispersed through Europe, the Near East and North Africa, produced books that were central to their own culture. They did so not in isolation, but through collaborations, commissions, and influences that helped paint a very different picture of a medieval world in which Jews, Muslims, and Christians could coexist and even co-depend upon one another. Great libraries like the Bodleian are far more than just memory organizations, preserving in their collections, both physical and increasingly digital, the documentary record of world civilization. They are active agents in the research process, providing both the raw materials for research and the expertise of their staff, as we've heard this evening, at the disposal of the researcher. But great research libraries are also interdisciplinary spaces where scholars from different areas of the academic world can collaborate and interact with each other in the pursuit of knowledge and with their students in the dissemination of learning. This show is a perfect example, bringing together scholars from a number of disciplines and from all over the world to help shape this exhibition and the book that accompanies it. Exhibitions like Crossing Borders also provide two vital functions for society. Firstly, they enable the general public to have an accessible means of understanding the vital research that is being undertaken in our universities, and that's never more important than now, as that research is under threat. Here at Oxford, the combined riches of the Bodleian Library, the Humanities Division, and the Oxford Centre for Hebrew and Jewish Studies at Yarnton have combined with scholars from around the world to undertake this research and to present it to us. Tens of thousands of visitors will see this show here in Oxford, and we hope many more will enjoy it in London next year. But exhibitions like this do more. They provide a new perspective on the past in the furtherance of our understanding of the present. They take received wisdom about the development of our cultures and civilizations and place these ideas under critical scrutiny. They are able to do this because the great research libraries like the Bodleian hold this vital mission of collecting and making accessible the documentary evidence for these cultures and civilizations. Through exhibitions like Crossing Borders, we can see through this critical reevaluation of the surviving evidence how knowledge was propagated, cultural continuity was preserved, and how new ideas were introduced, inspiring intellectual and social change. The 14th century Castilian rabbi Isaac Campantin wrote, "A man's wisdom extends only as far as his books reach." I am pleased to say that the Bodleian Library's collection of Hebrew manuscripts, one of the world's greatest, reaches a very long way indeed. And it reaches those distances because of many people, and Sarah has thanked many tonight. I would just like to close in thanking two groups of people. First, Sarah Thomas herself and her staff for all they have done in bringing this exhibition together, but even more importantly, in leading the Bodleian Library to the great position that it occupies in the world of academic scholarship. And I would like to thank all of you for your constant support and your friendship towards the Bodleian Library. Thank you all very much.
Person who would like to speak to you tonight after those stirring words by the Vice Chancellor, where I think we're all inspired. But Pete Van Boxel wants to talk a bit about the exhibition. Thank you.
When the prophet Ezekiel, in exile, far away from his homeland, dreams of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, he describes his vision in great detail. A picture which the 11th century famous Jewish commentator Rashi, in his commentary on the book of Ezekiel, tries to transform into a blueprint for reconstruction. Rashi's explanation of Ezekiel's dream was apparently not so successful. One of the rabbis from the neighboring Auxerre, Rashi lived in Troyes, asked for a more precise description. And Rashi answered as follows: I cannot add anything to what I have explained in my commentary, but I shall draw a plan of the temple, and I will send it to you. Now, Rashi sets the tone for tonight. When introducing you to the exhibition Crossing Borders, there will be soon a point where I have to say I cannot anything add to what I have explained to you, but I shall draw a plan, or in my case, I will advise you to see the exhibition. The exhibition Crossing Borders is about images. Images as storytellers, stories that lead us through the whole of Europe, from Ashkenaz, that's Germany and northern France, to Italy and Spain. Stories hidden in script, images, drawings, illustrations, and illuminations. Illuminations of Hebrew manuscripts. The explanation of the exhibition consists of 11 essays covering 11 different aspects of medieval Hebrew codices, revealing different facets of Jewish life. And the authors of these essays, to whom I am gratefully indebted, do not claim to have the last word. They introduce, as the panel text in the exhibition do in microform, they introduce the reader not only to the world of text, but also to the world of context, paratext, peritext, or material text. How can you describe with words a daily prayer book copied and illuminated by the owner for his own family, with no less than 10 different musical instruments, depicted with great detail and great precision, revealing the owner's familiarity with musicians, not only in the medieval Jewish dance houses, but also in the courts and the world of entertainment outside the Jewish community of the 15th century in Germany. He may well have been one of those musicians. Or at a much earlier period, in the early 14th century, not in a prayer book for private use, but in a machzor, a huge machzor, a prayer book for festivals, Jewish festivals, as big as a church missal. Can you envisage a full-page miniature assigned to the initial word of the opening prayer for the Day of Atonement? Instead of illustrating the prayer with the solemn shofar, blown at the end of the liturgy, the Christian artist who decorated the machzor replaced the shofar, the only instrument in Jewish liturgy, with a popular hornpipe whose piercing sound could be heard at secular outdoor entertainments. borders. Let's travel for a moment to Italy, to Tuscany in central Italy, the countryside so popular as the background for Christian motifs such as Annunciation or Nativity stories. Now, on the first page of a 15th century Italian manuscript that deals with Jewish laws concerning marriage and divorce, we find a lovely, appropriate illustration. A Jewish wedding with a couple under the chuppah. A Jewish wedding with a couple under the chuppah, the bridal canopy. And the background, the panorama, Tuscany, with its fortified hilltops. And whoever the artist was, he rightly positioned the chuppah in this beautiful countryside. Like anybody else, the Jew living in 15th century Ferrara or Modena or Urbino must have said, "This is my city, this is my countryside." Boris, our manuscripts show that there were times that Jews were part and parcel of local society. They shared with their non-Jewish neighbors taste, music, and the city. But the most fundamental connection with local communities is the language. Not only that Jews spoke the language of their neighbors, they also wrote it. And their handwriting became local, even when they wrote Hebrew or any other language in Hebrew characters. Please go and see Maimonides' autograph draft of his Mishneh Torah, the Code of Jewish Law in Hebrew. When you see it, you know that he was not born in Frankfurt. Maimonides the philosopher wrote his Mishneh Torah in Hebrew in the same handwriting as Maimonides the physician, the prescriptions for his patients in Arabic. Jews met with Arab scientists whose knowledge they conveyed to their co-religionists. They were instrumental in spreading folklore over Europe and taught either in person or through their writings Christians the Hebrew language and their interpretation of scripture. Borders. Crossing borders is perhaps a task for our own modern society. Easily inclined to believe that papal bulls and royal edicts have determined the history of the Jews in Europe. This exhibition is not conceived in general terms. It is local history, the history of individuals, be it scribes, illuminators, or owners of manuscripts, and of local communities that, despite royal edicts and papal bulls, lived with their neighbors, used their language, and shared their culture. Having at one's disposal such rich holdings as those in our library, it's not difficult to impress visitors. We've done that enough. When you want to create a narrative in which concepts such as meeting place and cultures figure, then you need more than a few exquisite manuscripts. Then you need your colleagues. And I thank Martin Kaufman and Bruce Barker Benfield and Colin Wakefield, curators of Western and Arabic collections. They made the encounter of cultures happen. And in order to display manuscripts in such a way that they bring to light this story, both in the book and in the exhibition, you need, and they have been mentioned, but I hope you don't mind I do it again, you need John Barrett, a top photographer. You need Dot Little, a designer with an eye for the detail. And you need Dana Josephson and his colleagues, Sally-Anne, Nicole, Robert, and Alistair, who together did not mount an exhibition, they created it. And last but not least, Sabine Arndt, my co-curator of this exhibition, whose commitment was impressive and her expertise exceptional. I would like to thank them all. And coming back to Rashi, I have nothing more to say. I hope you will enjoy the exhibition and take pleasure in reading the volume Crossing the Borders. Thank you very much.